This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so happy to be with you this morning, as I am Monday through Friday at this same time, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith, always looking forward to hearing from you here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you. Therefore, I am inviting you to give us a call here. Here is the toll-free number for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to use the line and give us a call right away. We'll want to make certain to get your call into the program today, so don't delay. Call right away. Additionally, we're available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Get on out there and put in to that chat feature your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will be very, very eager to address whatever you want to talk about today as well. If you're a first-time submitter and or a first-time caller, I'm inviting you to let us know, and we will ring our bell for you. Now it's Matt Gubensky out there on the phones as our call screener, and Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, retrieving your questions from EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So we've got them at the ready here. We've got them at the ready. So get on out there and put in your questions or comments so that we can address them right here. Eager to hear from you today. Well, let me tell you, I was in Houston, Texas. I was there for my second oldest granddaughter's confirmation. What a beautiful, beautiful ceremony it was. It was at St. John Vianney Catholic Church there, and it was Cardinal DiNardo who officiated the Mass and also confirmed, well over 100, I had heard 200 young people, and what a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, absolutely gorgeous time it was there. I cannot tell you how beautiful the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass was. Cardinal's words were just wonderful words. I was invigorated by them, and I was hoping that all of the young people listening were invigorated by them too. It was the vigil of the Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul, and so as a result of that, we celebrated the Mass in their honor, and he highlighted those two apostles of the church as, if you will, exemplars for the young people who were receiving confirmation. He reminded them that they were to be soldiers for Christ. He reminded them that they were to go out and to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ by their witness and by their word. He showed how St. Peter did that. He showed how St. Paul did that. And I think really incited in them a big desire, inspired them to be who they were called to be at this moment in the history of man. And I noticed too, as each of the confirmandes approached him, that he spent just a few seconds chit-chatting with each one of them. So it was very personal. It was very lovely. I was so happy to have been there. Marvelous opportunity for me. And I just want to talk a little bit about this great reality of the sacrament of confirmation, because it's so important. You know, this sacrament of confirmation strengthens us to be those witnesses for Christ. And we know what witness meant in the early church, you know, and still what it means. The actual definition for witness is one who is willing to witness with his life for the sake of truth, for the sake of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Today we're celebrating the first holy martyrs of the Roman Catholic Church. These were men and women who were willing to sacrifice their lives for the sake of the gospel message. That's what it means to be a witness for Jesus Christ, to be willing to preach the truth, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether people want to hear it or not, to preach it, to always preach it, to preach it with love, but to always preach it. We do that in two ways. We do it through our example, but we also do it through our words. And we're not to favor one over the other. They together are to speak the statement that it is possible to live according to the plan of God and that God's word is worth dying for. We need witnesses today. And I was thinking, as we were going through that, the process of confirming, we were going through that rite of the church, you know, I was there in the pew, and I was asking the Holy Spirit to stir up in me those confirmation graces that I received all those many years ago at the age of 9. I was confirmed at the age of 9 by the then bishop of the Diocese of Pittsburgh, Bishop John Wright, who later became a cardinal. And, he was the one who confirmed me. And I was asking the Lord to stir those graces up in me again. Remember, we receive, you know, there are three sacraments in the church that put an indelible mark on our soul. Two of them come by way of the sacraments of initiation, baptism and confirmation. The third is reserved for the priesthood, and that comes by way of the sacrament of holy orders. Now, when we talk about, you know, we receive these once because it's an indelible mark placed upon the soul, that indicates something to us. It indicates to us that this grace is always meant to be alive in us. The only thing that can remove that grace is what? Is mortal sin. But when we come back to the fullness of life in Christ Jesus, you know, that grace comes back. The mark never leaves, but the grace is there for us. We can ask God to stir up our baptismal graces. This is why we do renew them. You know, we renew them all during the Easter season. We don't have a renewal for confirmation, but wouldn't that be a grand thing? We can, however, ask God to stir those graces up in us so that we can be strong. We can practice fortitude and piety and fear of the Lord, right? We can practice all of those gifts of the Holy Spirit, knowledge and counsel and wisdom, all of these things, right? All of these things we can practice when we open ourselves up and ask God to stir those graces up within us. And we need to be witnesses. We need to be signs of contradiction at this moment in the history of man. That's why God's given us life at this moment, because he intends for you and me to be those witnesses, those signs. So, you know, in those moments, when you are feeling a little flagged, you know what I mean by that, a little down, you know, a little like, oh, geez, just completely depleted of all of your spiritual and sometimes even your physical energy, just ask God to stir those graces up, to stir them up, you know, to make them present to you once again, to activate them inside of you so that you can go into this world in which we live today and preach a message other than the cultural message, preach a message that breeds eternal life in the hearts of people. Preach a message that stirs them up and causes them to want to live and to die for our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's always be asking God to give us the grace of final perseverance. Final perseverance. We know we're all going to die unless Jesus comes again really soon. And I don't think he's coming really soon. But our moment is going to come. And we want to have the grace of final perseverance, whether our life is required through martyrdom, whether we experience some dread disease, whether we're killed in some kind of an accidental, tragic situation. We want to have that grace of final perseverance, right? But we need that grace of perseverance in the everyday moment of life as well. So anyway, you know, I'm all excited. I'm all reinvigorated because of what I witnessed and experienced. And I'm praying that, you know, I can share this with you and in some way inspire you to more and more want to enter into this remarkable moment. So let's talk a little bit about confirmation. Do you remember your confirmation? When were you confirmed? What's your confirmation name? Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. We're coming right back.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We are so happy to be with you today, and I'm inviting you to give us a call here. We're waiting for you. We sure are. So pick up that phone and give us a call. Keep Matt Gubensky busy. He is our call screener, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. We want to have that holy conversation with you. And as I like to say, don't delay, call right away. Don't be shy. Give it a try. We want to chit-chat with you. We surely do. So please do give us a call right here, 833-288-EWTN. Also available for you out out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there to put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We will ring our bell to welcome you if you're a first-time submitter or a first-time caller. So be sure to let us know if you are one of those debut people so we can ring that bell for you. Do want to remind you about some things that are happening at Women of Grace. We've got all kinds of things going on. Very excited. Coming up really, really soon is our annual Women of Grace retreat at Malvern Retreat House. Very eager to spend this time with you because we're going to be going deeply into the healing of the wounds of the heart. That's the theme. It begins on Friday, July 21, and it runs through about noon on Sunday. We close with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That is the theme, Go Deeper, Healing the Wounds of the Heart. I'm going to be doing a number of those presentations. Father Ken Geraci, a Father of Mercy, is going to be with us too. He's got some beautiful insights to share with us about healing these wounds of the heart. We want to get you all suited up so that you can be that more than conqueror in Christ Jesus for this moment in time. But ultimately, the main goal too, we want to get you to heaven. Yes, amen. And we want to get you there all cleaned up and ready to go, ready to behold the beatific vision. And if we don't work this stuff out in this life, we're going to work them out in the next. We're going to work them out in purgatory. So let's get to the business of working them out in this life. So it's going to be, I think, a very fascinating time together. I think that we're going to experience the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit coming to heal us. That's one of the graces that comes by way of the Holy Spirit, is this capacity to heal us physically, yes, but spiritually, yes, that's the greater goal there, because that's what gets us into eternal life. So we want for you to come. It is going to be preceded by the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. It's going to be led by our own Sue Brinkman this year, and I'm excited about this. She's a Third Order Secular Carmelite. She is going to be talking with us about the science of weakness, a journey into the life and teachings of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And I just know we are going to learn so much from her. I think that I misspoke. She is a Third Order Discalced Carmelite. So I just want to make sure I get the discalced in there. So all of that being said, Sue has much to share with us about the life and teachings of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. And if you love the little flower, this is for you. We have some seats still available. It's getting close, though. Today is the last day of June. We are into July coming tomorrow, and you know what that means. The time is going to fly, and it is going to be the 20th for the Benedicta really soon. Then it's going to be the 21st for the retreat. And I want you to know that also on July 22nd, which is the Saturday, as the women are gathered, we are going to be holding a Young Women of Grace Retreat Day at Malvern Retreat House. 14 between the ages of 12, 13 to 18. So bring your daughter, bring your granddaughter, bring your niece, bring your student, bring your daughter and her friends. You know, just come and join us for this beautiful, beautiful day. We're going to be talking with young ladies about the awesome reality of their femininity. And we need to proclaim that message loudly and strongly today, because our young girls are under attack. A woman is under attack today. That's the ultimate goal. Take out the woman. That's what the evil one's about. And he uses all of the machinations of the world, the culture, all of these things to try to take her out. Yes, he does. And so it is that we want to help these young women to understand more deeply who it is that they are as daughters of the Most High God, and what a wonderful reality that is. So inviting you to join us for the retreat. If you have any questions, you can call us 800-558-5452. That is the toll-free number for Women of Grace and Living His Life Abundantly. That's 800-558-5452. We'll answer your questions. All of the info, though, is available for you at our website, including the schedules. You can register right online. So don't delay. Let's do this. We really do want for you to join us for this retreat. It's going to be beautiful. Women at the well are going to be singing and leading us in praise and worship. And oh my goodness, we so enjoy being with them every year. And it's just been a marvelous opportunity for us to be able to go to Malvern for these many years. We've been going. My goodness, I think it's since 2006. That's about the time that I think that we started to go there. So, yeah, it's a lot of years. We keep going back because we like it there. And we know that our women really, really have a great opportunity to enter into prayer and times of worship as we make our way through those retreats. So please do join us for that. 833-288-EWTN. That is the number for you to call. We're sitting here waiting for you. Yes, we are. So I was telling you about confirmation. I was talking just briefly about the sacrament of confirmation. And I threw out a little tosser to you, asking you to share with us, you know, what you remember about your confirmation. If you remember who your confirmation sponsor was, why you chose that sponsor, a little word about the patron saint that you chose to be the one who would pray for you and intercede for you. So you took their name as your confirmation name. My confirmation name was Teresa Marie. It was a double name. I couldn't decide between Saint Therese of Lisieux, whom has been one of my favorite saints, the favorite saint of my childhood. Couldn't decide between Saint Therese of Lisieux and Our Blessed Lady, so I put them together, and Teresa Marie was what my confirmation name was, and I like that name very much. And I have occasionally met women named Teresa Marie, and I always feel a kinship to them. Maybe you chose your patron saint for a very specific reason. That was one of the questions that the cardinal asked the young people gathered there. You know, who is your patron saint, and how did you choose your patron saint's name? And we got some interesting comments there, and it was very, very nice to hear these young people share, because it really reminded us of the fact that they put some time into this. It wasn't something that they just, you know, did on the spur of the moment, but they put some real time and real thought into it. And I hope that you did too. I hope that you put some thought into it when you chose your name. And I hope that this patron saint remains an intercessor for you, and that you ask for their prayer on a regular basis, because something about them attracted you to them. Maybe it was a virtue. Maybe it was a charism that they had. Maybe it was the story of their life. I don't know, but you do, and we would like to know. Well, Robin is with us. Robin is with us in Houston, Texas today. So happy that she's there. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hi there. I'm doing great. And I wanted to see if you could touch on something that you're summarized, something that you that a lady called in yesterday,
okay.
And it was about addiction yesterday. And the lady talked about being addicted to, I think it was her ex-husband, and she has figured out something that was making her just a whole person again. And
are you there, Robin?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And?
So I'm having the same trouble, and I was hoping that you kind of summarize what she did to help herself.
Okay, honey. So, yesterday, I have to tell you, it was a pre-record, so I was not in studio.
Oh,
so
okay.
You're going to have to just remind me a little bit about when she says that she was addicted to her husband. What did she mean by that?
I don't know. That's what I missed. It was about addictions yesterday.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit about what that could mean. And let's just see if this resonates with you and your situation. Sometimes we form a dependency on another individual to make up for something that is missing in our life. If a woman has a mother wound, she might gravitate to women who are strong women, because in some way they are taking that place of what was missing from their mother. They're replacing that which the child needed and didn't get from the mom. This can also happen in some cases when there's a dependency that arises out of a father wound. A father does not, and this is especially with regard to daughters, that I'm going to speak now, sometimes a daughter experiences a neglect and or an emotional distancing from her father. And so she seeks to make that up in relationships, oftentimes that are dysfunctional. And one way...
I grew up in a very happy home. Like I grew up there was lots of love in my home when I grew up.
Wonderful.
It's just I don't know. It's just, it just feels like it's hard every day, you know, to just keep moving forward and keep moving forward. And I'll do good, and then all of a sudden I'll just backslide.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I wish I could remember what she talked about, something that just all of a sudden she said it just hit her. And literally, and I think it was literally hit her. And she came up with, something that really made her realize that this was an addiction and that she needed to get past it. And she did. She worked past it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the addiction was to her husband. Am I correct?
To her ex-husband. Yes.
To her ex-husband. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I guess oftentimes, too, you know, that wound of the heart is a very serious one. And we find ourselves going back to that situation and brooding about it. And brooding can create its own set of problems. Now, I'm not talking about going back and seeking what went wrong there and what part of that, you know, has affected me. And was there any part of that that, you know, I could have been responsible for? What was he responsible for? There's all of that. And that can be very helpful in moving forward into, you know, the rest of our lives and into other relationships that we might form in the future. But we can also brood over it, where, you know, we allow that grief of it to become a major emotion in our life. And in doing that, it's a morbid grieving. And in doing that, we are never really free from the situation. The situation is holding us in a chain to that hurt. And so I don't know what she said, but I can tell you this too, Robin, that program would be available for you out there at our website, womenofgrace.com. And I do believe it would be at the EWTN app as well. And you would be able to listen to it again and see what it was. And I wish that I could be of more help and assistance to you specific to that program. But you know, I'd like to invite you to come and join us for this Women of Grace retreat, because oftentimes when we can't let go, there is a tie there that needs to be resolved so that mm-hmm. wound can be healed. So come to Malvern and join us. I think that you would find it very, very enlightening and very, very helpful in healing.
Okay. I wrote the information down, so I'll definitely look into that. But thank you very much.
You're welcome,
Robin. Maybe she'll call and tell us. She's listening today.
Maybe she will. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Okay.
And thank you
bye
for bye. Listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, and this is a very serious matter. You know, God does not want for us to live in the past. You know, I often tell you that, you know, it was a great confessor that I went to that helped me to understand that living in the past is precisely what the evil one wants us to do. Because when we are in the past, we are not in the present moment. And when and God is in the present moment. So if we're not in the present moment because we're chained to the past, we're not available to receive the graces that God has in mind for us to receive in the present moment. It's one of the tricks of the enemy. You know, so if you find yourself constantly brooding, ruminating on situations and circumstances that happened in the past, and you find that you're not able to move forward, the evil one is at work there. It's a sign of his presence in trying to remove you from all that God wants for you to receive in the present moment. And as this beautiful advisor told me, you know, those are demons that strive to incite those thoughts and excite those hurt emotions about things that happened in the past. And he says, and they have names. Woulda, shoulda, coulda, if only. I'll bet you every single one of us today can attest to the fact that at some point in time, we succumbed to woulda, shoulda, coulda, and if only. God doesn't want for us to do that. So when we find ourselves doing that, we call upon the grace of the Holy Spirit that's present to us at that moment in time, the present moment, and ask for healing for that moment that occurred in the past. More to come on that, you know, as we enter into this beautiful retreat. We're going to be giving you all kinds of wonderful insights and tools to help you. Let's get to Mary. Mary is in Toledo, Ohio today, and we're happy she is with us. She is listening to us via the EWTN app. Hi, Mary.
Hi there. You were talking earlier about confirmation. And
yes.
I just wanted to share with you that in another hour, I am meeting a wonderful priest at my aunt's assisted living, and he is going to confirm her. She's 88, had never been confirmed, and it just kind of came up in conversation. And I said, well, let's see if we can get you confirmed. So I'm thrilled. There were a couple little snafus, and I'm like, the devil's not going to interfere with this. And we've persisted and found her baptismal certificate in the archive. And, so we're moving forward, and the priest is going to anoint her as well.
Isn't that beautiful, Mary?
It is, and I'm thrilled because what you mentioned about stirring up the graces, I'm going to stir up my graces as well. So thank you for talking about confirmation today. It was just so timely. So I'm very excited for my aunt, and this priest has been very helpful in pursuing it. So thanks for your great topic today.
Well, Mary, thank you so very, very much. And it delights me when the Holy Spirit does these kinds of things. So I think he is confirming the fact that you have worked out this opportunity for your aunt to be confirmed. And also, I'm sure it's delighting the Holy Spirit that you want those graces to be stirred up in you too. So be sure to give your aunt our very best today and tell her that we will be praying for her. And I pray now that this becomes a great grace for her as she lives out the rest of her life. You know, maybe that grace of final
Amen.
Perseverance is precisely what she needs that will come to her,
wonderful.
Along with all of these other gifts.
You said that so well. So thank you again, and God bless you and the work you're doing.
Well, thank you, Mary, and God bless you too. We're going to come back. Our phone lines are lighting up. We're eager to hear from you. A couple of topics floating around out there. We're talking about confirmation, your confirmation, what your confirmation name is, and maybe who your sponsor was, what confirmation is meant to you. And we're also talking about addictions here. We've got a lot going on. 833-288-EWTN. Give us a call.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. So happy you are joining us today. We are here for you. Yes, we are. Certainly inviting you to join us by giving us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can reach us. Eager to hear from you. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, inviting you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement, and we will receive it and we will address it. So that's 833-288-EWTN or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Reminding you about the upcoming event at Malvern Retreat House, hoping you're going to join us there. All kicks off July 20th with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. Sue Brinkman is going to be leading that, and it is The Science of Weakness, A Journey into the Life and Teachings of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. It's going to be wonderful. It just is. The retreat is going to be stupendous. Go deeper, healing the wounds of the heart. I'll be leading that along with Father Ken Geraci. I can tell you, you are going to come away with a wonderful, wonderful insights, tools, inspiration, but I think a whole lot of healing. A whole lot of healing is going to go on. We want you to come. We all need to be healed. If you think you don't need to be healed, maybe you just don't really know, because we cannot go through this life being unscathed by our personal sin. Nor can we go through this life being unscathed by the sins that have been committed against us. Now, to greater or lesser extent, they can have a hold on us. They might not have a great hold on us, but we don't want any hold on us. Or they could have a great big hold on us. Well, we want to begin that process of restoration, renewal, and hope. So do join us at Malvern Retreat House. We're going to have a Young Women of Grace Day for the girls on the 22nd, which is the Saturday. All of the information is available for you at our website. Just get out there, click on it, check it out. You can register right online. We are filling up, but we're not full. And we'd love to have it full. So we want for you to come and join us. We're going to get to Claire. Claire is in Texas today. And Claire is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network, and we're happy she's here. Hey, Claire, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm just so excited to talk to you. It is so providential that you are talking about this because I was going to call you yesterday about exactly this topic. Both of the topics you're talking about, I could tell you, but I wanted to call yesterday about confirmation names. I had an issue about that, and here you are talking about it this morning. So I feel kind of left out whenever people talk about confirmation names because I didn't get one. I got my sacraments at the right ages up until confirmation. I was being a little bit rebellious at that time, so then I didn't finish my CCD. But then I did go through RCIA in the 80s, and I didn't get a confirmation name. And so I always feel kind of left out. And so there's a twofold question. I also told your screener that I wanted to know what the church's stance on about, I had told him changing your name, but really for me it would be adding a name because I never had a middle name. My parents didn't give me a middle name. And I've been considering wanting to add a middle name because I used to be on social media, but I got off because I had a stalking issue with like two different people and people who I thought were my friends and they weren't. And I just couldn't deal with it. So I just let go of the account. Instead of unfriending them, I let go of the account. And sometimes I want to go back, but I would like to do it like anonymously or under a different name. And I often think if I had a middle name, I could use that, but I don't. And sometimes I thought, well, just make up a name, but that kind of felt like lying. And I didn't think that my friends would understand, you know, why I was making up a name. I haven't told a lot of people about what I went through. So, Jeanette, is it okay to add a middle name to your name, or is that, you know, I wouldn't want to undo what my parents did. So do you think?
Well, Claire, you know, so obviously you cannot change your baptismal name, and you know, that's on your baptismal certificate. Mm-hmm. So what you would be doing here is changing your legal name. Well, I don't think that the church has any problem with that because when a woman marries a man, she takes his name. And so her name legally is changed, but she remains, you know, who she was in the sense of her baptism. So it's not so much that we're changing our identity. What we're doing is we're just changing a name. So if you wanted to add a name, I don't think there would be a problem. Also, since we take a confirmation name, which you didn't get to do, and you could do that at the same time, since we take a confirmation name, we're adding a name, right? We're adding a name that appears neither on our birth certificate, nor does it appear, you know, on any legal documentation unless we were to add that name. So, I don't think that there's a moral issue here in any way, and the church, the church surely does not have a problem with that. So that's not a problem. So I would encourage you to do that. Now, the fact that you didn't take this name of the saint at your confirmation, it sounds to me as if this was not discussed, nor was it considered, which I think is really a sad reality that those that would be instructing individuals would not want for them to enter into, you know, the fullness of the of that traditional aspect of the sacrament of confirmation. So can you do it? I think that you can. And I think that if you, you know, are close to your pastor, or even if you're not, or if you have a friend who is a priest, I would just go to them and tell them, look, this happened. You know, could we have like, is there a way that somehow, you know, I could take the name of this saint here at the church, and you know, and you could give me a blessing, something like that, just to in some way codify it, you know, under the umbrella of an action that has significance and certainly has the element of a holy desire attached to it. So that's what I would do.
Oh, Jeanette, I just love you. You just speak exactly to what I'm thinking. And I hadn't even thought about, I mean, I had thought about going to talk to my priest about what he thought about it, but I that's what I wanted to ask you, if there was some sort of prayer that they could say. And real quick, why do you think, because my husband also, he's like 4 or 5 years older than me, and he didn't get a confirmation name either. And, you know, when I hear people so proudly talking about their confirmation names, I feel so left out, you know, because I would have loved to have picked one. And I don't understand why that was allowed to happen. You know, I didn't even know until I was later, much older adult, that people took saints' names, you know, when I started learning more about my faith. But at the time of my confirmation, I didn't even know that people did that.
Yeah. Well, you're in an interesting situation, Claire, because I don't know of anyone else. I've never heard of anyone else not having a confirmation name. Was your husband in the same parish as you or in the same diocese?
No, we're both in Texas, but he grew up in the Valley of Texas, and he's 4 or 5 years older than I am, and I grew up in Central Texas. And he said it was the same thing for him, that they just didn't do it for us.
Well,
so they didn't talk to us about it.
I don't know. I can't answer that for you, but maybe it was just some anomaly that happened. I mean, there were a lot of things that unfortunately changed after the Second Vatican Council, and not always for the good, but that was one that I haven't experienced. So, but why don't you talk to your priest? You know, obviously you're not going to receive the sacrament again because you have the sacrament, but you can perhaps do sort of like just a little amendment, you know, a little addition to this. So let us know if that works out for you. I'd be very curious.
Okay. And so just to finish, so the Lord would not have, because I'm still on the fence about adding a middle name. The only reason I would do it is because I had this terrible issue with the stocking. And so I always thought to myself, if my parents had given me a middle name, then I could have just used that name on a new account. But I've hesitated doing that because I'm like, I don't want God to think, you know, God gave me, they inspired my parents not to give me a middle name. So I don't want to, you know, change anything.
Claire, I don't think it's a moral issue, but I would ask you to prayerfully consider, is this just another way? Is this just another way that these people that were causing you such pain and sorrow, you know, basically they forced you off of the social media platform? Do you want them to have a hold on you that's so deep that you actually, you know, make this big change in your life? If that is what the motivation is, I would examine that motivation, because maybe there is some healing that needs to be done there, and maybe even an entry into, you know, the process of forgiveness so that you're set free by this. You know, we wouldn't want that to have a hold on you. And then I guess maybe the second thing I would ask you to consider is your motivation for wanting to get back on social media. Why do you want to do that? You don't have to answer that now. But, you know, why is it important for you to go back? And if it's a justifiable reason, then go to that, consider it. But, you know, to change your name, to go back on there because these people did this to you, in a certain way, I think that's kind of giving them an upper hand in this whole situation that maybe you want to really think about a little bit.
Okay, Jeanette, you've given me a lot to think and pray about, so I appreciate it, and I just love you and love everybody at EWTN so much.
Well, thank you so much, Claire, and we love you. We love our listeners, and we pray for you all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, and let me know about that confirmation issue, okay?
Okay, I will, Jeanette. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Want to get to Betty Lou. She is a first-time caller out there in San Juan Capistrano, California. We are very pleased she's listening to us via EWTN.com, and I'm very pleased to ring my bell to welcome you, Betty Lou. How are you?
Okay, can you hear me, Jeanette?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I'm well. Thank you for taking my call, and I love listening to you. So.
Thank you.
So the conversation is about confirmation, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I was confirmed. My dad was my sponsor, and I was confirmed an Episcopalian. And then I converted to being a Catholic probably about the age of 22.
Uh-huh.
And then I married a Catholic. And also, we were not given a saint, patron saint in the Episcopal Church.
Oh, interesting. So now I'm hearing interesting. But that was in the Episcopal Church, correct?
I'm sorry for interrupting. What were you going to say?
No. I said that was in the Episcopal Church.
Yes. But, okay. I mean, it was in our parish. I'm not going to make a blanket statement, you know, and say it was all churches, just where we were. Okay. So I went to Father Michael, who's my parish priest, and he said, well, your name is Betty Lou. And I said, it is. And he said, well, you could take Elizabeth. And I've always had a, you know, like a kinship with John the Baptist. But then there was another part that I was reading today. My middle name is Lou, which is Louise. And I was reading about Louise de Mara. It's M-A-R-I-L-L-A-C. She was...
St. Louise de Marillac.
Right. And I didn't know that she was involved with this St. Vincent de Paul. And that's kind of what my ministry was, like, you know, with clothing. And I'm a widow. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, this name that my parents gave me is a deep... Father Michael said, you have evangelistic qualities. That's part of your nature. And then, you know, and I'm also a survivor of incest and... and abuse, so that so this is fine. I mean, thank you for your thoughtfulness. But when you were talking about these whole things, like there's alcoholism in my family and all that kind of stuff, but the healing of the brokenness helps when you think of these saints that are your patron saints because they went through it. And like you were saying, you know, like I think you were saying that sometimes. You know, you're martyred for situations, but, you know, that's a beautiful outcome, and you have to remember that. And that's, I get into dark holes with that because I get, you know, when my husband died, my husband started, he never went back to church. We went to the non-denominational church, but he could never get himself grounded into where his faith was, you know, and then, and you try and try and try, and then you fall by the wayside, both of you fall by the wayside, then you have to pick yourself up. And then losing him, I was doing really well, but then I fell deeply. But thinking of these conversions and the people that my confessional names are gives me hope because I'm not perfect, you know, and I do have broken scars inside of me that are still need to be mended, you know. And even though I'm 72, that doesn't mean that I'm perfect, you know. So, you know, the confirmation part of it is beautiful because when I read about these saints and how they went on to work with people that were broken, it gives me some hope. Does that make sense?
Oh, it all makes sense. It all makes sense, Betty Lou. And this is the great treasure that we have in the communion of saints, you know, and oftentimes we don't remember that, you know, in this communion of saints, we've got all of these beautiful men and women who are beholding the beatific vision. They're right there before our Lord. They're right there before God himself, Trinitarian right. life. And they want to intercede for us. You know, they want to take our prayer and present it to the Lord. Certainly we pray to the Lord too, but to have these individuals with us, this sense of community that we've got with this communion of saints is just a remarkable gift. And I love the fact that you draw such inspiration from the saints who are your namesake. You're their namesake, basically. You're named for them. And so as a result of that, you can, I think, gain a lot of inspiration, but also, I think, a lot of wisdom. You know, and oftentimes I'll go back to the Saints Betty Lou and I'll read about them and I'll see how it is that they dealt with struggles and trials or how it was that they worked through, you know, the pains and the wounds of their own heart. And it gives me direction, you know, on how to go. And sometimes these wounds take a lifetime to heal. And sometimes the vestiges of them will remain until after we're dead and we'll work it out in purgatory. But we want to do as much of that holy work as we can in this life. And God is there for us in every way. And again, I know you're all the way in California, but we have, you know, people that fly in from all over the country and out of the country, Hawaii, for example, to come to the retreat. And if you can come, come, because I think it would be...
I'd be right there, but I can't afford it. But my prayers will be there and stuff. But, you know, maybe in the future, you
never
know.
Can tell.
I was going to tell you one thing that I was just thinking. The hardest part for me is where I fall in the victimization, where the devil holds me in the chains and the brokenness, is being a widow. When I met somebody a while back, I thought that God had brought someone else into my life and it didn't work out. And that really devastated me. I went into a real tailspin. I went into loneliness, deep languishing of thinking that I had done something wrong and why wasn't I getting what I wanted. But the Lord was reminding me again that it was my want and that I was healing this other person that was a widower, and it mm-hmm. wasn't for my benefit, it was for their benefit. And mm-hmm. I'm not willing to be unselfish enough to want to see other people healed. I'm starting to find out that my brokenness comes with great change, Jeanette.
Well, you know, Betty, let me tell you this, Betty Lou, I admire you, because one of the things that the Lord is giving you is that gift of self-knowledge. And so, you know, sometimes we're afraid to look at, well, why do I feel like this? Or why did I do this? Or how come I keep doing this? And when we sit with the Holy Spirit and He begins to show us, oh, this is related to this, we know that we need to go deeper into the healing of that wound. So you have that self-knowledge. You begin to perceive and to see. And yeah, it can be a chain that binds. But once we know that there is a tie to that particular way of behavior because of the wound, then the next time we're tempted to behave in that way, we have a choice. You know, we know what it's connected with, and we can use our free will to decide against that which would complicate our lives even more, and choose that which is going to lead us more closely to our Lord. And we never gain that if we don't look. We never gain that if we're not open to investigating these areas under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you are. And so I think that you're probably, in a better place than you think that you are, because you're willing. And obviously, any time that we sin, you know, sin does scathe us. We want to repent of that sin, and the sins of others scathe us. And we want to find that healing and that hope that we need for both of those situations. And I think that you're on your way there. And I'm very pleased for you and happy for you. And if I may say so, as a sister in Christ, I'm very proud of you.
Because it's hard to crawl back from abuse. And I was pretty, it's like when your family is broken and you kind of, God puts you in the gap there, you feel, what I ended up doing is getting an oversense of responsibility. But Mary's been very gracious to me and told me that she heard me and that I don't have to worry about, you know, she's answered my prayers in more ways in my heart than I need to even discuss. But Jeanette, I'm going to be honest with you. The first time I listened to you, I was really blessed. And I thought, I hope someday I can meet this woman. I think she's an incredible inspiration in my life. So thank you for being in my life as much as you have. All I have to share with you. You're welcome.
Oh, sweetheart. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye now. You're welcome. Bye-bye. We're all here for each other, everybody. Let's get to Dave. Dave is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Jeanette. How are you?
Very well, thanks. You're listening to us via Holy Spirit Radio on a day that we're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Amen. My last name is Parker, and
Dave Parker. Yay!
Yeah, forgot to give Matt. Yeah. I just said this is Dave. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Well, hi, Jeanette. And
hi.
my bad. And I told Matthew that I was going to be cutting the PSA today. I was driving up, and now I'm in the parking lot before I go into Holy Spirit Radio.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
I will be doing a PSA for this Malvern, the 21st?
Yes.
Is that correct? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You inspire me, too. Your callers, all your callers from when I started listening to you about 20 after 11 Eastern, really, really nice, really good. And
thanks.
But again, Dan. Then there you are, and you are promoting Malvern, and I just want to do whatever I can in the next couple weeks through our signal, our listeners, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners, we call them, you know, to fill those slots that you had mentioned. You know, you have a
yes.
few slots left.
We do.
Okay. I just want to say hi.
Well, thanks, Dave. I really appreciate it. And thank you for promoting the event. And we love Holy Spirit Radio. We get lots of calls from your area. You're doing a great work and a great job. I mean, this opportunity to use the airwaves for evangelization is a real grace. We need to keep using it,
Amen.
You know, and not take it for granted. Well, thanks, Dave, and have a blessed and holy day. Thank you. And Mary and Paula and Ann, I hope to get, God bless you. I'm hoping you'll call us back tomorrow, Mary, or excuse me, not tomorrow, it's Saturday, on Monday. Mary, Paula, and Ann, please do give us a call back. Until we are together again, friends, we certainly do want to remind you about that event that we were just talking to Dave about. Do want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is always there for you. He is always there for you. In those moments when you feel low, in those moments when it all seems too much, ask the Holy Spirit to stir up your baptismal graces and your confirmation graces and go out there and be those more than conquerors in Christ Jesus for this moment in time that God has entrusted to us. God bless you all now. Bye-bye.